Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and happy Memorial Day to all of you who have participated in one way or the other in fighting for the United States of America, our soldiers and soldierettes. We want to say happy Memorial Day to you. Perhaps your memories of war are not so grand. However, this day has been set apart to celebrate the warriors who not only fought but also died for the cause of making the United States of America the greatest nation on the earth. And we were talking about this throughout most of the weekend, and today is the day where celebrations and parades and decorating the grave sites of the warriors who were lost in war will take place. And we view that as a very powerful moment for people and families and loved ones. And so we just wanted to salute everybody and say once again, happy Memorial Day. However, we also wanted to make sure that we continue to remember the day of war that was fought for the entire human race. We will continue to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and remember the day that he went to Calvary, where he was crucified upon the cross, and his war against the powers of darkness on the behalf of delivering us from the power of sin. That is the day that I think every human being on the planet could go back and remember if they so chose to do so. Not everybody is excited about war. Not everybody's excited about the soldiers who fought in war. And I want to read to you a story out of Chronicles concerning the life of King David. I want to get your take on it as we go. So I'm going to be in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 here in just a little bit. But first, I want to share a few things that are going on roundabout in the world in which we live. First of all, a series of tiny quakes are rattling California and the Pacific Northwest may signal an upcoming catastrophic earthquake, seismologists say. COIN, K-O-I-N, reported, or experts say they might just be another reminder that the pressure's always building on fault lines beneath the West Coast. Those are just reminders, said Scott Burns, a Portland State University geology professor. According to the station, he said, "We don't know what they mean. They are reminders that we are in earthquake country and they may be precursors to the big one." Well, the tremors are indications of a slow slip event, says Ken Krieger, a University of Washington professor, Como reported. But as tough times come, for the first time since 2011, three distinct zones in the Pacific Northwest have been going off all at once. According to King 5 News, scientists say that the theory is that the subducting ocean plate is being stretched like taffy in the heat that is the mantle of the Earth. And here's the quote. "Any signal you get is interesting," said Tim Melbourne, who runs the Northwest Geodetic Array, which is based at Central Washington University in Ellensburg. He said, "If you have something out in the dark and you know it's dangerous, you know it's menacing, and every now and then you get a flash of light from it, any flash of light doesn't tell you a lot, but you piece them all together and you can start to put together all the angles, thank you, and you can start to see the dragon, and it's a big dragon," Melbourne said. So Melbourne's metaphorical dragon is the Cascadia subduction zone. Sections of the ocean floor are being pushed under the western edge of the North American continent, creating pressure. Where the two plates join is a huge fault line. The cooler upper portions of that fault are locked together. When they give way, typically between about 300 and 500 years, the result is a massive tsunami triggering earthquake. The one scientists expect to occur off of our coast is expected to be a magnitude 9. And some government agencies have already been preparing for the inevitable event. So episodes of tremors and plate slippage have been affecting the Pacific Northwest about every 14 months since at least the 1990s. Shaking from these events typically aren't felt and don't mean an earthquake is imminent. However, researchers believe the slip events are building up the pressure at the fault, which will eventually lead to a long predicted magnitude 9 earthquake. And though it appears several slip events are coming, the latest data doesn't seem to indicate the main event or the big one has started north of Seattle, but it's still a good idea to be prepared. And we always believe that's true, whether it's preparing for a massive earthquake or preparing for war or preparing for an outbreak of anything. We need to be prepared. And that's what we do. And that's why we're on the radio today. And I wanted to share something with our listeners that are out there today. I received a beautiful, beautiful email yesterday. It was actually a text message from a dear friend. I won't share his name. He's just a friend of mine that we have met recently, and we are on the same team. And yesterday we had a little match, and we were talking a little bit, and he said to me concerning the radio broadcast, he said, "I got to hear some of your broadcast today," speaking of Kerm Radio yesterday, "is it possible to download it so I can hear the whole thing? I like that you brought it back from soldiers on battlefield to our Savior. We have to always remember that humans are not to be honored above Jesus." And I said, concerning the download, unfortunately, no, the Kerm radio programs could come to me on CD, then I will upload them to our 24/7 radio station, which is, and I kind of told it what it was. And then he said, "Keep up the high level, high energy broadcasting. It's awesome. And they are helping me get back to Jesus. You broadcast Wednesday also." And that floored me. And I said, "It would be worth a lifetime to bring one brother back to Christ. Thank you for sharing." So what I just wanted to share with you, our listeners, is that when somebody says that our broadcasting is leading them back to Jesus Christ, I believe that all the silver and gold and financial wealth of this world cannot purchase one soul from hell. And whatever you are investing in this radio broadcast, whatever you are giving into this radio broadcast, you are part of the transition that is taking place in just one man's heart. And he's a beautiful man. He's got a beautiful family. And I just thank God that the radio broadcast is working that way. I wasn't even aware of the fact that he was listening to KIRM Radio and hopefully the Omega Radio Network. But what a beautiful thing. You and I have been brought back to God through Jesus Christ. We've been reconciled, and the whole angelic world rejoiced for each one of us that returned home to our Father. So this, again, is the war that was fought 2,000 years ago. The D-Day of all days happened 2,000 years ago just outside of the city of Jerusalem on a mount called Calvary, on a cross where the Christ was crucified. You know, that is an amazing story. It is so rich, and we need to remember it. We need to have the memory of that day. Now, I want to go to First Chronicles because I want to challenge our listeners. And again, my father was a Marine. My Uncle Bill taught hand-to-hand combat and was a drill instructor with the United States Marine Corps. My Uncle Tommy was in the Air Force, and he fought for this country in Vietnam. And I looked throughout my family bloodline, and there's a lot of warriors. I was signed up for a new kind of war. I was recruited, quite frankly, into the epic end-time battle of spiritual warfare and became a pastor, and have been being a pastor for 27 years, fighting the good fight of faith, being a soldier of Jesus Christ, and warring and laboring to set the captives free and to prepare for the great wars that are actually going to be coming. And if we have time today, I want to talk to you about the wars that are ahead of us and not simply the wars that are behind us, although there was nothing simple about the war, World War I or World War II or the Korean War or Vietnam or any other conflict, any war. There's always a price to pay. But I found this to be very interesting, and I want to bring it out there. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and I'll just read a few verses. And it's about the building of the temple and David concerning his son Solomon. Listen to this. This is very interesting. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 1. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands, and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers, with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. So David is calling all the administration, okay, together. Verse 2, then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, you shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he likened me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, your son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now, the rest of the story is awesome, but I want to go back to verse 3. David has in his heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant. But God said to him, you will not build my house because you've been a man of war and have shed blood. Now, how does that work with Memorial Day today when we consider those who have lost their lives in war? Is there something to it? I mean, I look at Scripture and I see God is with Joshua when he goes to battle against the Philistines. You know, it's twice in Scripture in the Old Covenant where God is called a man of war. Why with David was there a rejection of his building his house because he was a man of war and he shed blood? You know, what is that? Every other warrior when you read throughout the scriptures when Israel has gone to battle or gone to war, there doesn't seem to be a problem. But when it comes to building this house, there's a rejection to the man of war who shed blood, the king of Israel, David. What do you think that's all about? I'd love to share that with you today. The number to call is 818-369-0326. Maybe you are remembering a warrior in your family, someone who died in war. Maybe you are remembering World War I today. You've got all that information downloaded inside of you, World War II or any other conflicts of men who have joined the military forces of the Air Force, Marines, the Army, the Navy, even in the National Guard, those who have fought for the country. Maybe you want to shout out and speak into that. We today are doing two things. I'm challenging this because I want to understand it, quite frankly. The reasons why God would reject David from building a house because he was a man of war and shed blood. I mean, if you go to war, usually you're going to kill somebody. I could tell you a story about a dear friend of mine who was in the Korean War, and he told me the story face to face that he was on a reconnaissance flight, and the flight went down in Korea on the shores, and he was surviving for a day or so and trying to get himself acclimated to what had happened. And a soldier came in his path, and he killed him. He killed the soldier. Later on, when he's back here in the mainland going forward in life, he became a pastor. And yet, every day, he was having the image of the man that he killed, and he just couldn't shake the image. He was forgiven. He had a love for God. He was a great pastor. He was a wonderful man of God, and I could testify to that. He was my pastor, and yet this issue of killing that man affected his psychology to such a degree that, you know, one sits back and wonders, you know, what is it to kill another human being? Even in war, to fire a shot and to kill. One of my favorite war movies is Hacksaw Ridge. I think I've enjoyed that more than anything. There are a couple of unnecessary scenes in the movie I would not advocate to watch. But as far as the story of the young man that served the United States military the way that he did, I thought was amazing. Hacksaw Ridge is the movie. And again, the warriors that fight, as was said yesterday on our KERM radio broadcast, when I was talking with Pastor Ken, who is a Vietnam veteran, and with the colonel, who was also in the National Guard, you have to salute the warriors because they're only doing what their commanders tell them to do. When you sign up for war, obviously, and you get into boot camp and you get into training, your job is to do what you're told to do. And though you may resist in your heart, your mind, you know, you do, if you're part of that team, you do what the coaches tell you to do. And in the cases of war, that's exactly what these men do. They were trained to fight. And when you fight, you kill. And when you kill, I wonder if it leaves images in the mind. I think some of the mass murderers that have killed, the Charlie Mansons, you know, what did they live with? They became satanic, right? Totally satanic. Especially if there's no confession, no repentance, no remorse, no turning back from that. Something takes over your mind. It's a demon. It's an evil spirit. I don't think anybody that went to war, usually they're not born again, spirit-filled Christians that are going to war or sign up for war. And those who did go to war to fight for their country felt their patriotic duty to get behind the American flag and to fight for the cause of the United States. And whether the cause was accurate or not, I just can't see anything personally wrong with war because God, you know, even though I know it's not God's will, because in God's will, there will be war no more. And yet I know that a time of peace will come upon this earth when men will turn their swords into plowshares. And, you know, that's going to be a glorious day when weapons of war will be burned in the fire. That's going to be glorious. And I believe that's Father God's heart. But in this fallen world where there is war, you know, people die in war and people kill in war and all kinds of stuff happens in war. In today's wars, you know, it's pretty amazing when you're dealing with dropping bombs on people and killing mass amounts of people and, you know, all these different things. And it's like a war game, it's a video game. You know, people use their talents from video to fly those little, whatever you call them, and they drop bombs and target people. So it's a whole different idea. You almost, through television, you become kind of hardened to the fact of shedding blood. I remember growing up, and when somebody was killed on TV for the first time you saw it, it was shocking that somebody's blood would be shed. You go back in time and you didn't see that. I mean, you watch One Adam 12 and somebody was being arrested, but very rarely did you ever see any blood on television. Today, our screens are saturated with bloodshed. And what's really interesting about that and unfortunate, it's almost as though we're the conscience of American people are being trained to kind of, you know, tap out for a moment, you know, to have no regard for the shedding of blood. And when you play it over and over and over and over and over and over, and every movie is shedding blood, every movie is war, killing, death, murder, violence, it's almost as though they're programming the mind to be able to receive what inevitably will come. And I happen to believe, according to scripture, that the inevitability of war is knocking at the door right now. I believe that the Bible is very clear that there are going to be 3.5 billion people in two particular conflagrations from Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 9 that are going to die. 3.5 billion people are going to die in those two particular conflicts, which means there's about 7 billion people. The whole world population is going to be cut in half with the weapons of mass destruction that are going to be unleashed against mankind in these last days, which is part of the fury of the demonic forces. And it's not God doing it. This is the devil's wrath that is operating in mankind, who has rejected God, who has rebelled against God, who has turned against God. So these wars, I talked about them yesterday. We could talk about them again today. But I want to understand why God told David, you can't build my house because you've been a man of war and you have shed blood. He didn't say innocent blood. He said, you've shed blood. And that is in war. Saul killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. The people cried out for the victory of the great king, David. However, in the economy of God, for some reason, that was a disqualification. That was a disqualification. What do you think that's all about? The number to call, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. Would love to have a conversation with you today. It's Memorial Day, and people are out doing things, and the people have days off. Schools are shut down, et cetera, et cetera. The unofficial beginning of summer today, which will actually begin on June 21st. And we happen to believe that God has revealed, time will tell, that this is going to be a real summer of violence, that the next 4 months ahead are going to be summers of violence. And, you know, when we say things like that, immediately we think about gunshots. But listen, the violent storms that have just raged throughout this country in the last few days, creating floods the way that they have. And I know people say, well, it's tornado season. That's what you do. But the violence of these tornadoes and the number of these tornadoes have been absolutely amazing. And I personally would not be, you know, caught off guard if that massive 9.0 earthquake that I started the broadcast with, that the experts are concerned about, that they've been waiting for such a long time, I wouldn't surprise me if that this summer that earthquake would go. And I do believe that we're going to see ISIS operations. I do believe we're going to see terror cells activated. I do believe the sleeper cells are going to awaken. I do believe we're moving at that time, as we're moving towards 2020, that these moments right now that are leading up are times of preparation. I do believe that we should continue to prepare, especially for what I read in the scriptures, and I'm sure you have as well. So when you have an answer to the question in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 as to why King David was not permitted to build the house of rest for the ark, make sure you give us a call at 818-369-0326. We'd love to hear your comments about that. And something I shared yesterday about Revelation chapter 9, I'd like to go there again, but before I do, let's take a call. We have our very bold pastor, Ken Wagner, calling on the air today. Happy Memorial Day, Pastor Ken. How are you, sir?
Well, thank you, Pastor. We are blessed, praise the Lord, getting ready to go on out and help David move today. But aside from that, you know, I was thinking about that, and I'm saying, boy, why would God not allow David to go ahead and build that? And then the thought came to me that David was raised up as a man of war. He started out, even in his youth, killing Goliath, then going to war for almost the rest of his life. He had a war mentality that God put in him, which was necessary to achieve the goals that he wanted him to go ahead and do. I'm wondering if somehow that God felt that that would taint what he was going to plan to do on building the temple in there and somehow cause a tainting, I guess is about the best word that I can use for it, that it might affect the temple in that light. And it's just a thought. But that's about the only thing that I can think of.
Yeah, it also makes you consider the fact that the building of God's house is a very, very sacred calling. You know, Moses was given that ability to build the ark itself. And, you know, here we have another building of something that is for the purpose of God. And the one that builds it has to have a certain way about them because there's something to that holy house. I wonder what the mystery there is that, you know, and whose house is being built today? Who's, you know, God says that the body of Christ is God's house. And because we are the house of God, the dwelling place of God, the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, I would believe would have to be a certain manner of individuals. And I wonder if the principle carries over from a king that wanted to build a house but was a man of war and shed blood, that if that too would be an issue to prevent that building ministry in these last days. And so it's all very interesting to me. Let's hold on for just a second. Stay on the line with me. I'm going to get a call coming in from area code 605. Good morning. It looks like this is South Dakota, probably Ken. Good morning. I got two Kens on the phone with me today.
No, you don't. You have a Kathy.
I do not. I got a Kathy. That's just as good. Ken and Kathy, you're good.
Okay. Well, listen.
What do you have,
yes,
Kathy?
I have something concerning in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, and it's David. It's about David. And yesterday when we were listening to you on Kerm, all this had came to me in the morning, and then you bring this out, and I thought, oh, Lord, how in the world am I going to be able to tell this to Vincent and Patricia? And here it is in Psalm 68. It says, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai in the holy place. Now, when you read in the Bible, which you know about, and this other pastor, Ken, knows, when Joshua fought against the northern kings of the Canaanites, and God told him to exterminate all the horses and burn the chariots, which he did. That was in Joshua 11, 4 and 6. And God told him to do this. Okay. Then Elisha, you could read that in 2 Kings 6:16. Elisha was told not to fear the enemy's show of strength. And when Syria came by night with a great host and compassed Elisha with horses and chariots, which was in them days, Elisha said to his servant, fear not. Now I'm reading out of the Bible here, 2 Kings 6:16. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And then God opened the servant's eyes of Elisha, and the young man, he saw the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire out around Elisha. So now, I've come to this conclusion. In the book of Psalms 20, it says some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God was the testimony of David. So David had interventions, and Elisha and all them, of the Holy Ghost, God's power taking control. And I've talked to several people that have had these experiences where God has created situations where They didn't know where these people came from, and they were angelic beings, and they intervened. So when war is prevalent, and will be in the days to come, our trust has totally got to be in God.
Well, amen to that. Our trust has always got to be in the Lord. I agree. It's interesting the names you brought up, you know, the men of war that have gone out there, even Elijah, who hacked, you know, the 400 or the 850 prophets in the cave with his sword. David, the warrior, you know, Elisha, Joshua was a man of war. He went in to take the promised land. The interesting thing about that is that none of those men were called to build the house of God. But great thoughts. Hold on. Stay on the line with me. We got another call coming in. Area code 479-586. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor. That's an interesting verse there. Meditated on it many times. I always thought that, you know, that because it didn't say that David couldn't enter the house of the Lord, it just said that he couldn't build it. And when you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 5, it said, for David said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent of frame and glory throughout all the lands. I will therefore make preparation for it. So David provided materials in great quantity before his death. He didn't physically build the house, but God gave him the wherewithals and the ability to get everything ready to build the house. I just find it interesting that you know, he didn't tell him he couldn't come in it, but of course David passed before it was built. But the reason I bring all that up is because you got soldiers out there that are listening today that have shed blood, and not for a millisecond do we want them to think that they are not worthy of the Lord, because God does have he has those that build the house of the Lord, but he also has those that protect the house of the Lord. And so we want to make sure that God is the one that we're honoring, and Jesus Christ. But those soldiers that have been out there and have had to shed blood are always welcome in the house of the Lord. Does that make sense, Pastor?
Oh, it certainly does. And, you know, you're referring to God giving David the pattern to build the house, and he's having a fundraising program amongst all the elders, calling them forth. The idea of all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God is true, and we all have access into the grace wherein we stand. And yes, you know, I just know that in my personal belief of the blood of Jesus Christ, that the images in the mind of man who have killed in war and have seen the face or looked in the eyes of those they've had to kill or know that they have killed, that imagery can be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I believe in that with all my heart, and there could be a total clearing of the conscience of guilt, shame, condemnation. There's no doubt about that. We're talking here about building the house, and real quick to help us here, good morning, Patricia Joy. How are you on this fine Memorial Day?
Well, I am just absolutely blessed and wonderful because it's a beautiful day, and I thank God for no more floods and rain. And also, I do want to give a hearty and heartfelt thanks to all those who have fought for our freedoms, period. You know, this is wonderful and incredible that it is a gift from God. However, I always did question, because of what was just mentioned, I always did question, why did the Lord not allow David to build the temple when he did give him the call as a man of war? And I looked into that more than once, and I never had that question truly answered. According to scripture, it's because he shed blood. What does that mean? Why did that happen? Why could he not build that temple under the circumstances? It still remains questionable.
Yeah, and it's very interesting as well. And to anybody that's still on the line with me, you're welcome at any time to share your thoughts. That's Ken, Kathy, Bill, Michael, everybody out there, way into the conversation. But it's almost as though God says to David, you know, this is a personal conversation in 1 Chronicles 28, where David obviously is telling the elders, I can't build the house. God gave me the pattern. My heart is there. I desire to, but God told me because I was a man of war and I shed blood, I can't do it. So it's going to pass on to my son Solomon. He's the chosen one to do this. And so what is that? Why would God once again say to David, when it comes to building him a house, a dwelling place, you can't do this? And again, this has nothing to do with not accessing. This has nothing to do with not being forgiven. And for you men that have been out there in war, you have been involved in war. There's no doubt you did what you were supposed to do. And even I've heard men in their confession talk to me about, you know, when I went to war, I did horrible things. They couldn't look me in the eyes. And they got involved in sensualities. They got involved in hatred in their heart, where they began to hate the enemy, and they became vicious and mean, and they got involved in drugs, and they got involved in all kinds of stuff. So war is not a pretty thing ever, real war. To that, there's no doubt. And yet, for every single human being on this earth, there was a war fought 2,000 years ago that could cleanse your conscience. There was a battle on the cross of Calvary, and that we've got to make this point. This is not just being religious, that 2,000 years ago, just outside of Jerusalem, when Christ went to the cross, I mean, that was the battle of the ages to free mankind's soul from the power of the enemy and guilt, shame, and condemnation. And that is the real D-Day. And how did Jesus win that battle? Not by shedding blood of another, but by laying his own life down and allowing his innocent blood to be shed for the forgiveness of sins. I mean, it's a total different way of doing things. All right, somebody out there, your comments.
Pastor, may I join in for a second?
Yeah, please do.
I agree with what Michael has just said, because I was going to say the same thing. That he did all the preparations, and God still honored David for all that he had done. But if you think about it, I think his mind never really changed in light of killing and mayhem and murder. Because if you look at it, what he did with the husband of Bathsheba, he even sent him to his death. So that way of life was still well inside of him. And I don't think God wanted anything of that nature associated with his temple. And people might have thought of the temple of God as being a haven for war people or something of that nature, being that he allowed David to build it. I don't think he wanted any kind of tainting of the temple. He wanted it to be God's holy temple, a place of worship, a place of peace, a peace of joy, a place of joy. And I don't think he necessarily wanted anything of war associated with it. That's just
why?
A thought that I had.
Yeah, well, why is that? Why was war and killing, because that's what war does, why is that a tainting? I mean, why? What was in God's heart to say that is tainted, David, even though through his killing of Goliath, he's brought to the throne after all of his years of, you know, running from Saul and all that stuff? Why is he brought to the throne as the great king, the warrior? And it was it just God saying, okay, that's one part of my ministry in the earth is war. The building of my house, the place of my presence, somehow cannot be associated with that kind of bloodshed. Patricia, go ahead. What do you have?
He said that. That's exactly what Pastor Ken said.
Oh, good.
Yes, for that purpose and reason.
But why was
Am
it,
I correct?
Yeah, why was it a tainting? Anybody?
If you look at it, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm going to have to run quickly on here, but if I may, maybe the one other thought on here was, of course, even in the Ten Commandments, it says right there, thou shalt not kill. Now, there was kind of an exception allowed in terms of building and getting God's people together on here. But still, that whole fact that there was a lot of murder and mayhem going on,
How would I today allow a mafioso head who had done many killings, allow him to become somebody of high authority within, let's say, the Catholic Church or some other organization like that? That path that he follows is going to follow him no matter where he goes. And I don't think God wanted any association that way that could affect his church and do the very things that he wanted it to be.
Yeah, very good.
Hello?
And yes, Kathy, go ahead.
All right. In Daniel 8, this has not been fulfilled yet, this scripture I'm going to read. And it might give a little light to all of us about what God's plan is. Okay, Daniel 8, and it's the 27th verse, and it says, and the kingdom, and it's talking about the beast system and the whole Antichrist thing, but what the results will be. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him, which is Jesus Christ. He is the leader. Hitherto is the end matter. As for me, Daniel, my cognitions might much trouble me, and my countenance changed to me, but I kept the matter in my heart. This is yet to come, and the end result of all this conflict is going to be God's dominion and power when the Prince of Peace comes.
Amen. And when you look at Revelation chapter 19, I mean, this is, we know that David is of the seed of Christ, and Christ is the seed of David, right? And we know David was a man after God's own heart. He was the apple of his eye. And we're told in Revelation 19, and this is very interesting again, I saw heaven opened, behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So here you have Jesus Christ coming in this Revelation 19 warfare style to tread the winepress. I mean, that sounds like he's going to tread out the grapes, and the grapes always represent the blood of the grapes. So, you know, this is all a very interesting concept to me. And I think what you brought up, Kathy, was very, very important. The time of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, where men will turn their swords into plowshares and he will rule the nations with a rod of iron, and there will be war no more. Hallelujah. May that day come quickly upon us all. Patricia Joy.
Well, the scriptures tell us that God's reason for choosing David's son instead of himself was God wanted a man of peace to construct the temple, not a man of war. That's what the scripture says. His house was to be a house of prayer for all nations. And that's in Isaiah 56:7. I believe that it wasn't a curse, so to speak, on David, because David provided all the materials for the building of the temple. I think it was just a matter of spirit. Not that David wasn't considered a great man in the sight of God. Absolutely he was. But he was used for another situation. And his son, being the peaceful one, not going to war as of yet, was used to build that for peace. It's all in spirit, and maybe beyond things we just yet don't truly understand. It doesn't mean that anybody is being condemned one way or another.
Absolutely.
It's a manner or a matter of how things are done.
Well, amen to that. Yeah, there's zero pointing accusation, condemnation. It's just a desire to search things out and understand what that means. And obviously, God's house is so holy, truly holy. I mean, that even the person that would build it, that's the apple of his eye, God would say, no, you know, this one, you're out on this one, David, for this particular reason. And he gives that reason. But the good news in the new covenant is that anybody that has ever been to war, I mean, obviously, everybody can be forgiven for everything anybody has ever done, but that blood must touch the conscience. The blood of Christ must touch the conscience in a cleansing and a washing and a thorough deliverance from the iniquity, the sin that creates a bondage in one's mind. And maybe, well, we're not going to call war a sin and shedding blood in war a sin, but maybe it creates an environment in one's mind that it creates a gap in their thinking. Anybody else want to share into this? Any new information out there? Okay. The lines are open, 818-369-0326.
Somebody is trying to get through.
Yeah, there's somebody on the line. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, Pastor, my beautiful wife Carmen just brought up a great point. The Apostle Paul killed many Christians, but he built the house of the Lord. Now, what am I referring to, the house of the Lord? This house that we have the Holy Spirit in, this body that we live in. Does that make sense?
Well, I don't believe the Apostle Paul.
Paul's mission wasn't to build a physical house.
But he didn't shed blood.
In the sense of a building. Right,
yeah.
Right. Paul, what's that?
Paul never shed blood.
Go ahead.
Paul never shed blood.
No, right. I understand that, but he was the instrument in making sure that people were killed.
Yeah, he's like the administrator up in Washington, D.C.
Right, he was the administrator, and he was guilty by reason of association and all that. But yet, Paul built many houses of God in us as people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, he was a great master builder. There's no doubt about it. And you're right. He did build the house of God, and he was knocked off his high horse, and he was brought, you know, to the King of Glory, and he was commissioned. The only difference I could see there is, and again, it's guilty by association or whatever, but he never really scripturally shed blood personally. And maybe there's a difference. I don't know.
Well, there is a difference in the personal part of it because, again, everything is spirit. And we have to understand the way of the spirits, dark spirits and holy spirits, both in God's conscience of all of the work he desires on this earth and how it moves. And though Paul did not touch anybody physically with a knife or killed them personally, there was, a reprieve on that for God. But David personally took, you know, a measure of whatever instrument he used, sword or otherwise, and plunged, literally shedding the blood with his own hand. Now, that may be an answer. I'm not positive, but it is a wonderful thing that we can talk about it and find the heart of God in this, because it is questionable.
Yeah, it's a seeking understanding. We don't want to beat a dead horse or strain at gnats. That's not the objective here. We want to know because there's a house building project going on in the world right now, and there have to be genuinely chosen vessels to actually build that house. How many of you would concur that not every pastor is a chosen pastor, or not every apostle is a chosen apostle, not every prophet is a chosen prophet, not every evangelist is a chosen evangelist, not every teacher is a chosen teacher to build God's one house called the ecclesia or the church, which is his body that filleth all in all.
We also have to consider that we have the Lord's cleansing blood, where that wasn't available in the Old Testament. There was not yet a sacrifice for sin. There was demand to not sin, but not a sacrifice for sin. And so under the circumstances, one could be truly purified today and cleansed of all unrighteousness, no matter how it appears and looks, no matter what the demands of this world is. It is still wrong that this world has to go to war. No matter how you slice it, no matter how you cut it, it always was a question in my heart, even growing up as a little girl. How is it possible for men to tell men to kill?
Yeah, there were many sacrifices under the old covenant, but none of those sacrifices could cleanse the conscience or relieve the conscience from the guilt that was present within it. There was an appeasement, there was a covering, there was a moment, but the blood of Jesus Christ removes and takes away the stain and the shame and the guilt and the condemnation so that somebody could step into a born-again experience, be declared a new creation, be totally forgiven and emancipated from the bondage of whatever their sin has been, and then step into a new paradigm and do whatever God wants them to do. Because quite frankly, no man on earth is good enough to be sufficient to the task of building God's house. I mean, that has to be an employment of the Spirit of God, a calling and a choosing upon the vessel that God would apprehend. And he knows something about our hearts that perhaps others do not know. So the lines are continually open. Anybody else that's out there want to share or weigh in on the conversation?
Well, one other thing I read in the Bible, it says that the righteous are going to inherit the earth, not the wicked. So that's another statement from the Word of God.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Hey, we've got, we're going to continue. We just had a call come in from the local area. If they need to call back, they got disconnected. Yes, the righteous will inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth as well. Michael, anything else out there?
I'm reading right now. I'm looking right now in verse 19 of chapter 22, and I love what David said. He said, "Now set your mind and your heart to seek the Lord your God. Arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God, so that the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God may be brought into the house for the name of the Lord." But I love the fact that David told them to set their mind and their heart to seek the Lord God before they did anything else. That was what he commanded them to do first.
Amen.
Seek God.
Amen.
I love that. And you know, when you look at David as a mighty man of valor and a warrior, but yet, you know, and it even said when David died, he was a man after God's own heart. God didn't punish him by not allowing him to build the house. He gave him the wherewithals and the ability to supply the needs to build the house. But because of the holiness of God and being righteous as he is, he did not want a vessel that had spilled blood, even though that vessel had been forgiven. He did not want that vessel to build the house, but yet David was still honored because he said he made me king of all of Israel, and he was still telling people to seek the Lord. Set your mind and heart and seek the Lord your God. David was honored in all of it still, even though he didn't build it. I thought that was so awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome, and it's a great comment. It's a great Bible study. In fact, when you really follow through on that whole paradigm of what was going on, he was appealing to all the elders of Israel to gather together to support his son Solomon, and it was a huge offering that was being brought in to build the house. And I would remind our listeners today before we take our next call that I received a text message yesterday from a friend of mine that heard us on radio, and he said, "Keep up the high-level, high-energy broadcasting. It's awesome, and they are helping me get back to Jesus." So there's a soul that is being brought back to Jesus, and that is because this radio station is designed to build the house, to build up the body of Christ, to call to mankind by your support of this radio station, by you getting involved. King David had no problem asking the elders to give what they did, and they gave an abundance. If you read 1 Chronicles 28, an abundance was given for the building of the house. We have a lot of work to do. I've just been contacted by Steve Ciccolotti's ministry, and Steve Ciccolotti is going to be joining us on the air as well. So we've got a few more calls coming in. Let me take this call, first of all, 479-250. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. I don't know if there's time. There's a short thank you that I just wrote for our troops, if there's time to read it. If not,
no,
I understand.
Ahead. No, please, go ahead.
It's called Faces of Courage. As we stepped out to play, your combat hit the ground bloodied for our freedom. As we stepped into the school to give allegiance to our flag and what it represents, our troops set their hearts to defend we the people, our freedom, and the United States of America flag.
Excuse me. You're going in and out. Is there a way that you could be a little more clear? This is very important. We'd like to hear your poem.
Yeah. Poem. Let me put you on speaker. I'm sorry. Okay.
That's okay. All right. Go for it. This is a poem that was written by Carla.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to get you on speaker. If I call back, would there be time if I called back real quick?
Sure. Of course.
Okay.
We'll bring you back.
Okay. I'll call back. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll take another call while we're waiting here, coming in from area code 605. And we'll say good morning to 605-695. You're on the air. Hello. All right. So,
hello.
There you go. Hello, Ken.
Yes.
Are you there?
You can't hear me?
Yes, we hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. As I'm listening, I'm thinking about my brother who spent 15 months in Vietnam. Prior to going to Vietnam, he ended up was a hunter. Our whole family was hunters. When he came back, he would not even pick up a gun. And a lot ends up happening to people when they're under stress or things like that. And I know that God has forgiven him for anything that he has done, but I'm questioning whether or not, and not questioning you or discuss it, but what I question is he able to forgive himself? I'm sure God has forgiven him for anything he might have done, but yet I always enjoyed hunting with him, and I haven't hunted with him since he came back.
Wow. Wow. That is intense. So you wonder how somebody was affected. And this is, I believe, the shedding of blood is a psychological impact one way or the other. Now, just because of the sake of time, we're going to dive into that perhaps a little bit more. Carla, are you there to share your poem with all of those soldiers that have fought for this country?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me okay?
Please go forward.
Okay, Faces of Courage, as we stepped out to play, your combat boots hit the ground, bloodied for our freedom. As we stepped into this school to give allegiance to our flag and what it represents, our troops set their hearts to defend, we the people, our freedom, and the United States of America flag. As we have had and still continue to have the freedom to come together with our families and so much more, calls came in, knocks at the door to bear the unthinkable. The loss of your loved one has given their lives for this country we call home. As we live this life with the freedoms we still have, remember, say thank you, love them in appreciation, for we truly do not know what you have had to endure. For each one of you who served your uniform militarily with honor, thank you, thank you, thank you for your sacrifice of leaving your family and beyond. That we the people would honor you today and remember and not let go of what has been fought for. Mankind must turn back to Yahweh while there is still time. Thank you for my freedom. Thank you for my freedom, a USA citizen. That's it.
Amen. Amen. What a heart cry. What a heart cry. I want to thank you for sharing that poem. We're down to 60 seconds here. Patricia, anything you want to say in the last 45 seconds?
I want to get back to David, if I may. The thing that has been represented, what is right and what is wrong regarding going to war and shedding blood. I know that David was absolutely called to do that very thing by God, and he did. And I know that Solomon was called to do that very thing by God, and he did. So my concern, or not my concern, but my conclusion is that, yes, God called it, and he had his absolute blessing on David, and he had his absolute blessing on Solomon.
Amen. We'll revisit that conversation right now on the Omega Radio Network at www.omegaradio.org, a Christian Bill of Rights roundtable discussion. This one is awesome, folks. You want to listen to this next roundtable discussion on the Omega Radio Network. You will not be disappointed. It's powerful. It's dealing with demonic hosts. Patricia Joy Xavier is leading it right now over on the Omega Radio Network, www.omegaradio.org. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. God bless.
Is this one?